we are adding CO2 to the atmosphere at a rate that is outside the bounds of the entire 65-million-year paleoclimate record. The Earth has never experienced a thermal impulse occurring at this rate ever before. So bottom line is we are going to encounter increasingly severe trouble and organize a better reaction than we currently have.
Could you please put that in the context of Superstorm Sandy, which recently hit New York City?
Sandy is an illustration of what we're talking about. I think it is the largest storm on record. Very disruptive events, more extreme than what we've experienced in the past, is what we have to expect under the trend of global warming. We expect events of this sort, outside the bounds of anything yet encountered, to begin to occur within the next decade and to recur with increasing frequency and severity thereafter.
We saw what happened in New York recently with one superstorm. How could they handle one or two superstorms every year?
Obviously, we have a very vulnerable coastline. New York City, Manhattan, is extremely vulnerable. And they're vulnerable to one of the more inevitable features of climate change, which is sea rise. And so what this is telling us is that our coastal cities, New York, Miami, Houston, are all extremely vulnerable to the long-term phenomena of sea rise and the short-term phenomena of violent storms, and they're going to have to build in better protection than they currently have. And that's going to be a big effort, and we better start doing it. I think New York is beginning to get the message, although getting the message and acting are not the same thing.
Well, what can they do, and quite frankly, how can they afford it?
Well, you can protect New York to some extent against storm surges by floodgates that are very expensive, but it's more expensive not to do it because you have to expect severe disruption. If you don't protect against it, then you're going to have to accept the damage that occurs. The damage is much more expensive than the prevention. The problem, of course, is that people don't like to spend money in anticipation of something that they claim is uncertain. And frankly, the U.S. political system is hung up by the not very productive argument with climate deniers who want to deny the phenomenon and do so with such intensity to make political action very difficult that the consequences are yet more severe.
So how do we move forward from here, yeah? I mean, what can we do?
The threat of climate change is serious enough that eventually, globally, we are going to have to go through an energy transformation that diminishes our reliance on methods to put carbon into the atmosphere. We know in principle how to do that, but we're not committed to the very extensive efforts required to actually undertake it. At some point, that will, I think, have to become a global major priority, and that will be, to put it mildly, a very big deal.
Yet this comes at a time when the U.S. and the rest of the world is struggling with deficits and debt. So how can all this be paid for?
There will have to be very considerable public expenditures devoted to preparedness. And those people who don't like government are going to have to get used to this. This is inevitably a government function, and tax base will have to support it. And if we don't do it, we're looking at devastating damage down the line. This is a security threat, a new form of threat. And it is foolish not to get prepared for it. So either you use the military for this, or you have to develop other organizations more directly designed for disaster relief that are given standby capability. And this is a fundamental issue that we do need to face.
Little is really being done to combat climate change. What do you see is in store for us over the next century?
Well, I think the thing that we most have to worry about is surging release of frozen hydrates, methane, into the atmosphere. If that begins to happen and produces a positive feedback process, this is catastrophic trouble. There's no question about that. In my own judgment, that is the worst that can occur.
And it's already happening.
It is happening. What we don't know is whether it's happening at an accelerating rate or at a rate that will produce a positive feedback, greater warming.
Do you think that it's ironic that the U.S. is facing catastrophic weather because of climate change, yet you remain so addicted to fossil fuels?
Yes, it's ironic. We do not have transition plans. In the short term, there's no way out of reliance upon fossil fuels. We need quite serious planning exercises that extend over several decades, and we don't have them.
And if you don't?
If we don't, a lot of people are going to die.